Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. We're going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to meet some new people. We're going to ask questions, make comments, and we are going to take plenty of notes. We also have a free giveaway for you today, so make sure that you tune in. And before I start the show, I am going to ask you what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. That means just go ahead and wake someone, call someone, text someone, tweet someone, and let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is live, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And while you're sharing the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. He is so interesting. We have some laughs in the back, but I'm going to talk to you to Mr. Ed Crow of Ed Crow LLC. And Ed is amazing. And he works with entrepreneurs and business owners who are struggling with people problems. And I have a lot of people problems. So I definitely want to talk to Mr. Crow. Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Hey, I'm well, Sharifa. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. I'm excited to have you here. And I read through your bio and it was so funny or interesting to me because it started off with people problems. And then you started going into like the different areas that you specialize in. I'm like, no, I got more people than that. I need some help with all of these other people. But you work with business owners and entrepreneurs, correct?
That's correct. I find that when I'm talking with business executives, they fall into one of two buckets. Either their business is growing like mad and they can't keep up, or they're hitting a ceiling and they don't know why. Well, both of those issues come back to people. One, maybe not getting the right people in place, and the other, maybe not utilizing your people properly. And that's what I help them to do, is to look at how they're utilizing their people. Do they have the right people? And making sure that both of those things come together for the good of the business.
Well, I think, I'm not sure which category I'm in, but I always talk about this, and it's the same problem I had when I was employee as it is now when I'm an employer. I have a problem delegating. That is my biggest problem. I do not like to delegate anything. And I always share the joke. I have two kids, they're 23 and 26 now, but when they were growing up and I would tell them, clean your rooms, I always tell them, clean to my standards, not to your standard. And so that's kind of how I am in business. I want the work done to my standards, how I would do it. And often I find that people have that 9-to-5 employee mentality, and they're not interested in necessarily giving their best or giving their all. Or maybe it's just me, and I don't know. You tell me.
Well, we're in an interesting time right now. And that's that a lot of people still refer to us being in the information age. And that's nothing could be further from the truth. We've migrated into what's called the experience age now. And so our employees, if you think about life through Facebook Live or through Instagram or TikTok and having GoPro cameras, you know, people are experiencing life and they're sharing those experiences through social media channels. Well, we're starting to see that come into the workplace now. People want an experience out of their work. It's not just, hey, I'm going to work, as you said, from 9 to 5, and you're going to pay me X for doing that. The culture has to be very experiential. It has to meld with who they are as a person. And we're seeing this more and more, especially now with Gen Z. These are the folks that are just now graduating and coming into the workforce for us. They want this experience. And so as business executives, we need to be looking at our culture and determining whether our culture can support that level of experience. Because if it doesn't, we're probably going to go by the wayside.
Mm-hmm. And when you say experience, I've never heard the term like that as far as an experience from the company. What I've seen and what I've seen trending with Gen Z specifically is they want to know what your social reach is. They want to know that you're doing something for the world. They want to know that you're doing something for the community, that you're eco-friendly, that you're, you know, whatever it is, but it has to mean more than just a job or just a paycheck. And I think part of that is because generations before, you would get some type of loyalty or some type of reward. You know, we talk about the employees who job hunt, but the employers, they would give you, you know, a gold watch, you know, you've been here for 25 years. Now you have a pension. All of that is gone by the wayside. So what is it that keeps the employee loyal to a company that may not even offer them health benefits?
Right, right. And you hit on something, and that's the ethos of the company. What does the company exist to do? Okay, what is its mission? Now, that doesn't mean it has to be purely philanthropy oriented, right? But the things that you mentioned, so do we support children's education? Do we support the environment? Whatever it is, are there other things that this company is giving back into the community? And so that's part of the experience. And what today's employees want is we're starting to see the lines blurred between work and personal. You know, we used to talk about work-life balance. Mm-hmm. Then we talked about work-life fit. And now we're talking about work-life integration. Mm-hmm. And certainly, as we've seen in recent months, due to the pandemic where people are working remotely, and it's okay if you see a kid in the background going past the Zoom because people have kids, they've got pets. And so it's all part of being able to bring our entire selves to the workplace. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's been something that, frankly, most organizations have struggled with. Mm-hmm. You know, we want you to show up as Mr. or Ms. employee, and you toe the company line, and this is what you do from 9 to 5. Well, people today don't want that. They want to bring their entire selves and who they are. And that's part of experiencing life for these younger generations and experiencing work. Mm-hmm. And so the organizations that can figure that out, that can figure out the employment branding message around that, are going to thrive because they're going to get the best and the brightest in. Mm-hmm. And then when they get in, they're going to be fully engaged.
Absolutely. Now, Ed, do you have any recommendations for a company, especially a smaller company, on how they can incorporate that into their business?
Sure, sure. The easiest thing, I don't believe in rocket science. I know we're going to hear from Christopher, one of the most intelligent men in the world here real soon. But, you know, I don't think when it comes to employees, it's rocket science. I believe in bringing your people together, asking them what motivates them. Don't make any assumptions. Talk to them and find out, can we deliver on their expectations within reason? Mm-hmm. And there's a great book. I think Jack Mitchell was the author. It's called Hug Your People. It's such a simple read on how do you interact with your people. And in his book, he talks about, well, gee, Sharifa, you work for me, and I know you like roses. So on your birthday, roses show up at your desk, right? You know, I know that Christopher's got kids in soccer, and so he gets a gas card because he's always running his kids to soccer. You know, it's those little things. And so I'm a simple guy. And when I work with my clients, we go to the lowest common denominator. What's the easiest thing we can do to keep our people engaged? Mm-hmm. And for me, that's what we start by asking them. We don't make assumptions. Mm-hmm. And that's my biggest suggestion for any size business owner. Ask your people what they want.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Engaged, and then deliver on that promise if you can.
Love it. I think that's wonderful, Ed. As I grow my business, I'm going to keep that in mind. So I'm going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, especially since you already introduced him for us. We're going to speak to one of the most intelligent men in the world, Dr. Christopher Smith-Meyer. He's going to talk to us a little bit about his business, Brav Online Conflict Management. He's the Vice President of International Affairs, and he has over 9 degrees. Good morning, Dr. Christopher. How are you?
Well, good morning. Doing excellent. Thanks for having me on today. I loved what Ed said. I mean, that is one of the things when we go in and do conflict counseling for companies, and that's one of our big pushes is we do conflict counseling and training, is you need to look at, as he said, like people want to bring their whole life in. And as an employer, you want to hire the whole person. You don't want to just hire part of a person, because whenever you start separating people, you really start breaking them up. It's like when you start separating a country, you start breaking people up, they start getting distance from themselves. And when we're doing this and when we're doing international projects and you start telling people that it's the same process you go through in Vietnam that you go through in the United States, that you go through in Britain, human beings are the same. Like they may have different cultures, they might have different backgrounds, but there's so much that we have in common, and like the media tries to get us to look at the things, that little tiny things that make us different. And whenever you go in there and you say, hey, we want you to have a good life, you want us to have a good company because you want to keep your job, that really brings people together, because then you're part of a team, you're part of a culture. And when you step away from the division that you see on the 6 o'clock news and step into, hey, we have conflicts, we acknowledge every human being on the planet has conflicts, but we're going to manage them. We're not going to let them destroy us. We are not defined by our conflicts. We define the solutions for our conflicts. And that's where we bring people together. And the more people we bring together, the better the world is, because we're all the same in the back, in the big background. We all have those little genetic boxes that make us up. And whenever we put them together, we make the people, and then we define who we are as people and how we make other people better.
You are so intelligent. I love that. That is amazing. It is great. And I definitely agree. When I first launched the Roundtable Talk Show, I was nervous as hell. Okay, I'll say that. I was so nervous. And it's because you have five different people with five different personalities, with five different messages on five different businesses. And I'm like, oh my God, you have egos. And entrepreneurs, CEOs, business owners, successful people, no matter what, they have egos. So I'm like, how am I going to play with all these different egos? But you know what? I have not had one show where there was a conflict, one show where their egos played into a part. What I have found is that people came together and they said, you know what, how can we help each other? How can we work together? How can we learn together? And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And it has developed and just grown and evolved into something that I couldn't have imagined. So you are absolutely correct. But what about those companies that have conflict? They are going through conflict and they know that the similarities are there, but maybe they don't know how to fix them. Can you speak to those people, Christopher?
Sure can. Whenever you're sick, who do you go to? You go to a doctor, you go to somebody that's a professional in that area. Now we have four consultants here today. And whenever you have a problem, if you go to the person that's a specialist, like if you have a cold, you don't go to a gynecologist or a pediatrician, you go to a general practitioner, an infectious disease guy. When you have conflict, it's the same thing, and not all conflict is the same. So you might come to me and I could say, hey, you've got something that is dealt with by a focus group. And if I don't do focus groups, I might bring in and say, hey, you need to go talk to Ed, or you might want to go talk to Charles, or you might want to go talk to Miriam and talk to them about what they're a specialist at and bring that in. And whenever you have the right tools and when you have the right people, it makes dealing with the conflict better. Because a lot of people, especially in my field, and this is one of the big scary things that I see whenever I see conflict resolution as opposed to conflict management, is you get the people that say, hey, I'm a mediator, I can fix any problem in the world. Mm-hmm. And you might be able to fix some problems, but there's no one still here on this world that can fix every problem. And what you want to do is you want to get the person that's good. You want to get the best person. Because whenever you go to the doctor, you don't want the guy that finished 49th in his class of 50, or the lady that... she kind of made it through medical school, but didn't really do good and didn't get the degree she was going for. She ended up with a hand-me-down degree. You go and you want the best person out there. And that's really what we want to push for, is people to go out there. And if we at Brave might not have like a person that does the specific thing you need, we don't do a lot of mock juries. And if you need a mock jury or something to go over what a problem is, we'll direct you to a company that does well with mock juries. Because when we work as a conflict management community, we make the world a better place. When we work as a business community, that's the next overarching thing, we make the world a better place. And then whenever we get to that human community, everything is better whenever we have the best people working on the jobs to try to help promote the best in the world, instead of trying to just get out what's best for us.
Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense. What would be your typical client?
My personal typical client are usually governments. We go into governments and say, hey, you are spending $46 billion on a conflict management system, your court system. It's known for being corrupt or something like that. We deal with a lot of countries in Southeast Asia where that's a problem. If you let us digitize it, we can bring this in and make it more effective. We can have records so that you can see when someone's being corrupt, when someone's selling things. And then on the domestic side, what we do is we work with companies, we go in, we consult, we a lot of companies say, hey, we don't know what the problem is. Come in, tell us what the problem is. And we come in. Has anybody here seen Office Space, that movie from the 90s? Where the guy comes in, he's like, yeah, what do you do here? We do a lot of that. And we find that a lot of jobs in this country are legacy jobs. They're jobs that someone had 30 years ago that were really important. But now with computers, people don't do that anymore. Like the guy that changes tapes in a mainframe. Mm-hmm. Right. We had a company that had a guy that still did that. And we went in and we said, hey, not to tell you your job's useless, but the machines that you work on haven't been made for over 50 years and your company doesn't have any. So they're not going to buy new ones. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of what we do, is we either go in and look for the problems in macro environments like a country, or in the domestic market, we go in and look at the meso and micro markets and look at what the problem is and help people find solutions. And we do a lot of sending people to other consultants, because if we go in and find that it's not something that we work on specifically, we'll send them to an expert that does. So we like to have a big family of experts that works with us so that we can send business their way. They send business our way, and we really help people out, because if you do what you're good at, you're going to enjoy what you do. And if you enjoy what you do, you're going to do a better job.
Absolutely. I like that. That's interesting. Dr. Christopher, I'll come right back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. We have a lady amongst gentlemen today, and but she's, hey, I already know from her bio we're going to have a lot from her today. We have Miriam Ortiz from the law offices of Miriam G. Ortiz, who's going to be speaking with us. And one of the things that she focuses on and helps is business owners, and she is in Silicon Valley. So if you ever heard of Silicon Valley, okay, you already know who Miriam is. Good morning, Miriam. How are you?
Good morning. Doing really well. So glad to be on your show. And I'd love to hear from what your guests have had to say so far. Yeah.
You work with small business owners, correct?
I do. Yeah. So what I do specifically, I'm a lawyer, but don't take that against me. No, no, seriously, you'd be amazed by just the different reactions one I get just by telling people I'm an attorney. Either people get really scared, or they're like, you know, why are you calling me? They just automatically assume something's wrong. Or so there's a lot of that, but no. So what I do in my business, I counsel micro and small businesses as general counsel. So what does a general counsel do? They, basically it's like your in-house legal counsel. So I used to work in a larger firm with Fortune 500 companies. And I found what I was really passionate about was just working directly with my clients and small businesses. That really made me feel connected. And, you know, Ed talked a little bit about ethos and kind of giving purpose to your job. So rather than be a paper pusher, this is why I opened my own law firm, is to help small businesses. So what I found with small businesses is that a lot of them need legal, but they often don't go to legal until something blows up, someone's threatening to sue, a deal goes bad, there's conflict. So I really wanted to be like that legal preventative medicine for a business. Now, a lot of times small businesses, they don't have necessarily the means to have a full-time in-house legal counsel. So what I do is I try to work with the businesses directly to develop a plan for them. So like a fixed monthly plan where they know, okay, this is how much I'm spending on legal a month. And they have me as their in-house general advisor. I can look over their contracts, look over their employee handbooks, deal with any conflicts that may be arising. It's kind of like what Chris talked about a little bit is, you know, what they do is like, you know, if you are having a, you know, I wouldn't go to a tax attorney for my divorce, right? Same thing, right? So like what I will do is assess, look at the business, look at whatever issues they're dealing with. And hey, if they need to talk to a bankruptcy attorney or a tax person, I'll say, hey, you guys got this issue here. You'll need a specialist here. So that's what I do for small businesses. And I've been doing a lot of work right now, especially around COVID-19, you know, contracts are being disputed. Leases need to be negotiated, and you'd be amazed. One thing I've heard a lot from my clients is just the power of getting a letter or having, you know, sending, having a letter sent on their behalf on an attorney's letterhead. Like that alone in and of itself sometimes just completely kills the conflict. So.
Yeah. So on this show, I think we're talking about how to get rid of conflict, how to avoid conflict. And you actually answered one of the questions I have, that most people don't get a lawyer until things blow up. That's what I was going to ask. But I also know that small business owners especially set up things in stages. They go, okay, well, let me get this set up. Let me get the LLC done. Let me get the corp done. Let me start doing that. And then I'll build the website. And then I'll do this. And then, you know, maybe down the line, 15, you know, levels later, I'll hire a lawyer because I don't need that initial. At what stage would you say that someone needs a lawyer or a legal department for their company?
So I'm having a little trouble hearing, but from, I think I heard you say that at which stage would I recommend that someone has all stages, all stages, especially the beginning stages. I think the, and you know, and it doesn't have to be all year long, right? Which is why I offer my services the way I offer them, right? I think like if you have someone or legal, right, for at least a quarter, right? And definitely the first part is important because you're establishing your corporation, LLC, whatever it is. So that's important. Establishing your processes, establishing your contracts. You know, I'm big on contracts, and a lot of businesses think, you know, all right, I got my template, I got my paperware, here's my contract that I'm going to use. And then they use the same contract like for years. I'm like, oh, no. Like a contract is a living, breathing document. Like you should be looking at your contract. You should be identifying problems as they occur, right? Every client's going to be different, right? Situations are going to come up where you're going to go, huh, that's never come up before. I didn't anticipate that. That should be in my contract. I don't want to have to deal with that issue again. Let's put that in my contract, right? So there is some, there is some kind of foreseeability and, you know, so I think I'm going a little off here. It's morning. I haven't totally digested my coffee, but yeah, I think it's important to have at all stages for a business. At every stage of growth, you're going to have different issues that come up. Maybe you're going to have during the first stages, it's just establishing the process and your contracts. Maybe in stage two, you start to get a little more traffic through your doors, more business, and you're dealing more with conflict. So I think it's important to have at all stages.
I agree. One of the things that I've seen over the past 20, 25 years, especially with new people starting out, that they will just say, you know what, I don't need someone to write a contract. I can go find a template. And the reason I noticed that is that I'll get contracts sent over to me and I'm reading through the contract and I'll go, okay, how does this apply to what we're doing? And they all come back with the same response. Oh, well, I just Googled it and I just put it together and I didn't know what that meant, but I just sent it over. I'm like, okay, you have to have someone look over these contracts and be clear on the information in the contract and don't just feel that you can just send it kind of willy-nilly, I guess.
Right, yeah, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. I actually, you know, more power to you, use the templates. I use them as well, but what I do differently and what helps is like you're able, I work directly with a client, right, to see, and because, you know, people forget with contracts, like if you don't understand the contract,
right,
then the person you're doing business with probably won't understand it either. And I think people are a little afraid to just really get in there and work with the contract and make it their own document. Like your contract should be clear. It should tell you what this contract is for, who the parties are, what are we agreeing to, spell it out. And if you can't understand it, chances are the other party won't. Where, you know, the legal aspect of it is important is just identifying blind spots. You know, a lot of times people don't see the blind spots, and attorneys were really great at thinking of like the worst case scenario that could possibly happen in your business deal. No. We're often called deal killers for that reason, but no, it's really just like, okay, like what if one of you dies in the middle of this deal? What if, you know, I don't know. A lot of people are friends and go into deals with the best intentions, and you know, they don't go into these things thinking that we're going to have a big blow up fight and not be friends anymore, but that happens. And so, you know, there's just things that people don't anticipate, that, you know, yeah, it helps to have a legal eye on.
No, I think that's great. And I've had deals killed because I've had legal representation. And I didn't think that was a negative thing. I've been going through the contract, you know, negotiations, and we get to that final part and I'm like, okay, well, let me send it to my lawyer for review. And they'll come back to me and go, okay, wait a minute. We got a few changes. And I'm like, wait a minute. Now that I've mentioned the lawyer, now you want to change a few things, because they know they're not just speaking with me. They're not just negotiating with me. I have a team. So then they make changes that are more favorable for me, because they know that I'm not just going to put up with anything.
Right. And then sometimes, I mean, it's killing the deal is good, right? Because if then these are people like, that's not a client you're meant to work with. That's not a client you're meant to have. And if you're having those issues at the beginning, like if you two can't even come to a meeting of the minds and work on like what you want together, or just outline what you want, then chances are your working relationship is going to mirror that, and it's not going to be good. So, Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's good to keep in mind. We're going to come back to you, Miriam. I'm going to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And I think this is an ideal show because we have the legal team. We have the conflict resolution. We have Ed over here helping us put it all together. But I want to introduce our next guest, Mr. Charles Reed. Charles is a CPA, but he's also the founder of Get Payroll. Good morning, Charles. How are you?
I'm well, Sharifa. And you seem to be doing very well this morning, bright and chipper.
Yes, it's early here in California, but I love to learn. I love to get up, find out what's going on in the world, take notes on ways that I can help my business. And I was excited to speak to you because, you know, we can't have a business without payroll.
Well, as you were saying, this is an interesting meeting because what I do touches on what everybody's involved in. Obviously, it's payroll. And so we're dealing with people. People get paid, people pay people. So we're dealing with people and all kinds of circumstances and all kinds of business problems that affect payroll and people. And then we deal with conflict. We deal with the IRS on a regular basis. One of the big things we do for our clients is compliance. Producing just a paycheck is not that difficult. A lot of people can do it and do it okay. We do it very well. But what we do specially is we deal with the IRS in the states for our clients. Clients make mistakes. We make mistakes. The IRS makes millions of mistakes every year. People don't realize that, but they do. Last year, the IRS issued $13 billion of employment tax penalties. $13 billion. The average small business, 40% of them got hit with a penalty, and it averaged $800. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't gotten a penalty this year, you'll probably have one next year. We take care of those things. We know how to work with the IRS. We're specialists at resolving those conflicts. We don't resolve conflicts overall, and I wouldn't know how to tell a government other than the IRS how to do anything. The IRS has their own business, and it's a lot of people we're dealing with there, and it's a matter of dealing with the people and dealing with them properly to get that conflict resolved. Mm-hmm. Now, I agree with Miriam that you need an attorney in the very beginning. You also need a CPA and a payroll company, because the moment you incorporate, you may well be an employee yourself, and you have to pay yourself. If you hire somebody, there's all kinds of things you've got to do to be legal. We get a lot of clients that come in and they have two or three people and they're paying them under the table. They're paying them as contract laborers and they're not. And all of a sudden they think, well, maybe we should look into payroll, and they don't realize the problems that they've already created for themselves. And that's too bad. So having somebody in early is good. So we deal with clients across the country. We deal mostly with small businesses. We don't do payroll for IBM or JCPenney's or General Motors, but since 95% of the businesses in this country are 20 people or less, that's where our client base is, and that's who we like to look at. And to help them, we've done a couple of things. I've recently written a book, The Payroll Book. It's on Amazon, and it explains payroll for small businesses. It's 30 years of experience. compressed into a book. And as I'm doing that, I'm doing up a CPE course for it. And I've realized, well, there's a couple of more things I still need to add to it. So it's a good book, and it's a real basic book for small business. And, you know, basically anybody that hires somebody should have one on their bookshelf. We need to put one on yours there.
Yes, so, we need to add it to the bookshelf. But I don't want to gloss over the book, because I'm always trying to learn. That's what I'm here for. What are some of the items that you can give us in the book? Just basic tips. I know we have to read the book.
Well, there's a number of things. First of all, like 45S, which allows you a tax credit for paid time off. If you pay people time off because they're sick or they're taking care of a loved one or anything else, even though you're not subject to Family Medical Leave Act, you can get a tax credit for the wages you pay, up to 25% of that. A lot of people don't know that. If you're an S corporation or a corporation and you work in it, you're an employee and you have to take compensation. A lot of people, small business people, don't. They just pay themselves distributions, which means they don't have to pay Social Security or Medicare, and it saves them 15.3% in taxes. That's illegal. You're going to pay for it. They're going to say this is compensation, and they're going to hit you for the taxes plus penalties and interest. Then HR, you have to have a handbook. If you don't, if you employ anybody beyond yourself and you don't have a handbook that details out your policies and procedures, you're just asking for problems. It will happen. And that handbook has to be revised constantly. Every time a problem comes up and you get a new set of circumstances, you have to add to that handbook and make sure you promulgate it to all of your employees so that you're covered. So if there's a problem in the future, you have a contract with your employees. This is how things are. This is your responsibilities. These are our responsibilities. This is what we do for you, what you do for us. And so when they get sideways with that, you have a contract that you can rely on and do things with. So it's important. The book covers a lot of this. It also covers tax penalties, how to avoid them, and how to resolve them. And the big thing in resolving them is communications. You've got to answer every letter and every phone call and respond constantly. When you get that duplicate letter in a month after you've responded to the first one, you send it again. You may mark it, copy, and send it, but you always respond to everything. You never let anything sit on your desk because it's just going to go from bad to worse.
Now, Charles, you mentioned the employee handbook. Is that something that your company develops for small businesses?
We have partners that we work with because I'm an accountant. I'm not an HR person. But we have specialists that design and implement for you a handbook. Mm-hmm. We have HR companies and specialists that we work with that do this kind of thing. Because it's like, beyond being a CPA, I'm also a registered investment advisor. I don't do that anymore because I can't do payroll and do that. I'm a CPA. I'm trained in accounting and audit. I don't do that anymore because I do payroll. And if you try to do everything, as everybody here realizes, if you try and do everything for your client, you're going to do it poorly because you can't be an attorney and do accounting. You right. can't deal in conflict resolution and do payroll. You can't deal in HR and be in the back doing all the books for somebody.
Right.
You concentrate on your strengths and your abilities, and you make that work for you and for your clients. And then, like all of us, you fill in with experts, like my fellow guests. When you have a problem that's outside of your expertise, you bring in somebody else that's an expert.
Absolutely. We have to bring in all the experts. But one of the things that interests me about you that's a little bit different from payroll is that you've also been helping small businesses with a commercial.
Well, in this day and age, we've gotten into video. We all do video. So we've set up here a couple of years ago, we bit the bullet and put in a nice camera, a studio, microphones, cameras, everything else, so we could shoot our blogs, our videos, our commercials, our YouTube stuff. We got a bunch out on YouTube. My videographer, Michael, is just superb at that. You know, I have a hard time taking a picture with a Brownie camera. He's just wonderful with the video camera and developing these things, mm-hmm. and writing things and editing things. So what we've done is we've got this studio. We know problems exist with COVID. So we've said to our clients and our potential clients and small business as a whole, hey, you need a commercial for your business, we'll take care of it. You call us, we'll sit down, we'll help you write a commercial, we'll shoot it either on site or at a distance, just as we're doing over the web. We'll edit it and we'll produce for you a 30-second commercial that you can put out wherever you wish. We'll put it on our website as well. But it is a commercial for you, for the company, for your company to promote your business in this time of COVID.
I think that's amazing. I'm going to look forward to having an Ash Sharifa video created soon. I'm going to come back to you, Charles. I want to go over to Miriam. Miriam, let's get you a commercial. 30 seconds. What would you talk about on your commercial?
You put me on the spot. 30 seconds. I would talk about the importance of your business and having, just to piggyback on what Charles says, the right team as your in-house legal counsel. I would help you do that. I'm your business's legal preventative medicine. Stop problems and conflicts before they occur.
Perfect.
Perfect. Dr. Christopher, same question. You're on mute. Stop laughing, Ed.
I have sound in my commercial. That would be a good thing to start with. I love the BDO approach because we're one of those companies that you really don't know what we do unless you needed us. And then hopefully you're going to tell friends about us. So it's one of those things, ask your friends that have dealt with Brave about how well we do with our projects. And we also like to talk about some of the cool stuff we do, like destination trainings, where we take people to Australia or the Caribbean to do corporate trainings, because we really believe that new environments open new pathways in the brain to receive new information. So those are the real things that I'd like to promote there, just bringing people in through the word of mouth and community environment.
Interesting. Ed, same question.
Yeah, so you know how business owners don't always know the path they want to go to with their people. They know what their product or their service is. They know what their mission is. I've written the book on how to get that done. Make you drive bottom line results through your people. And it really is the roadmap for getting off of your pain island, whatever that may be, whatever pain you may be having with your people, and over to pleasure island, which is where you want to be, where your people are moving, grooving, and everyone's a part of your mission. And that's what gets me out of bed in the morning. That's what makes perfect clients for me. It keeps me in what I call my joy and genius zone. Love doing it, and I think I'm good at it.
I like that. I like the whole pain island, pleasure island, but I want to be on fantasy island. That's where I want to be. I want to just imagine things, and then there's a little short guy running around like, what do you want to do? The plane. Like, that's what I want. Can I have that?
Sure. We can write that. That'll be the next book. Getting from Pleasure Island to Fantasy Island now.
Okay, so I get, you know, part of the book, like at least, you know.
I'm curious if one of Christopher's degrees is in psychology, because he may have to weigh in on this whole Fantasy Island thing.
Yep, that was one road I never traveled.
So what are your 9 degrees in? We've been having a bit of fun. Tell us about these 9 degrees.
I started out... at Penn State, I got my criminal justice degree. I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to work for the FBI. But then as I moved through my career and as I moved through school, I realized that probably wasn't the best track. So I got my MA in industrial labor relations, then my law degree, my MBA, went to Australia, got 2 degrees, one in international business transactions, and then one in dispute resolution. Came back to the United States, thought I had a professorship. There had been a change in power due to a conflict situation at the school. So the job wasn't there that I came home to. And they said, well, if you had a PhD, we could hire you. Well, I got the PhD. They still didn't hire me. And then after that, I got my graduate research certificate in qualitative research methodologies to help work with the marketing at different companies that I consulted for. And whenever I started working for Penn State as an adjunct, I got a degree in online teaching methodologies to keep myself current so that I could make sure that everything was delivered properly, because we're seeing that a lot with the schools right now, where teachers are having a hard time because they're trained in in-person teaching and the schools are just saying, hey, put your stuff online. And that's actually the cardinal sin of online education, is just throwing on-ground stuff online.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that because it was one of the most interesting topics and themes that run out throughout the shows since we launched on March 30th, is this whole school, you know, problems. And I was sharing a situation where my aunt actually had her granddaughter, and she was, the school sent her a PDF. Each week it had 90 pages. So they sent her 3 weeks, 90 pages, and they just told her to print it out. And so my aunt, she has absolutely no clue. She was just like, tell me what I need to do. Take a look at this. Go to, I'm gonna go to FedEx. I'm gonna print it out. And so I looked at the emails and I said, okay, you do realize there are 90 pages here. And so 3 weeks, 90 pages per week at about 75 cents to a dollar per page. Like, you're gonna be broke. Okay. You're gonna bankrupt yourself trying to print these out. And so she wound up going back to the school who just printed it for her. But I was sharing this story and another one of the guests said, at least she got a packet. And I was like, what does that mean? She was like, no, at least she got a packet. And I said, well, didn't you get a packet? She was like, no, our school told us to go home and teach the kids something. And I was like, what does that mean? She's like, I don't know. They were just like, teach them something, like teach them math, teach them how to host a podcast. But there was no packet. There was no information. And students are going back to school right now and they're struggling. Some students don't have computers. They don't have laptops. I don't know if anyone saw the story that was so amazing was going on about these students who went to Taco Bell to do their assignments because they could use the Wi-Fi. And when the story picked up, people have donated over $100,000 to this one family to help them get laptops and get education because they were doing their work at Taco Bell. So what are some of the ways for parents? I understand you're focused on the teachers, but if you have any ways or ideas for parents to make this process easier, I would love to hear it, Dr. Christopher.
One of the big things that I've seen with this is that the best thing that parents can do is make sure that their kids listen to the lectures that the teachers send home. And whether that's on a laptop, whether it's on a tablet, whether it's on your cell phone, even if you have like an old iPod that you can go to the school and get the lectures downloaded on, because our education system's flipped. I don't know if you've ever thought about, you probably thought about this when you were a kid, but why do I have to do homework?
Right.
Well, where homework came from was whenever the farmers and the teachers got together back in the 1700s and said, hey, we're going to start schools. Everybody has a right to education. The farmer said, oh, wait a minute. My kids already have a job. So they reached an accord where they sent homework home. So the kids did the work at home. So they could only had to be at school for a couple hours a day. Well, now we've moved school to basically a job, an 8-hour day job, and we're still having all the lectures at school and all the work at home. And what that's doing is it's really backwards, because at home, a parent can make sure the kid listens to the lectures, but might not know the material to teach the kid. Whereas the teacher is just standing up there in front of the classroom like a live theater production. And whenever the kids are doing the hard work at home, they're doing the homework, they're struggling, the teacher's not there to be beside them. And one of the things, we have a class, we're working with the Johnstown Area Regional Industrial Corporation and Southern Alleghenies. It's one of the regional federal groups to bring teaching education to teachers and parents on how to do these hybrid online classes when the kids are half at school, half at home. And we're really trying to get them to try to get the lectures at home and the work at school, because that lets the teachers do what they're good at. We have thousands and thousands of teachers that are really, really good at helping students work through problems, but they're really not trained to be lecturers. That's kind of a thing that they teach us college people to do. We go up there and stand in front of a classroom because we like hearing our own voice. Teachers want to help kids. And whenever we give them that opportunity, that's when we make the system more efficient. That's whenever we build it up and let the kids, to go back to what Ed said, experience school as opposed to just sitting there. And if your teacher's standing in front of the room just talking, why can't I watch that on TV? That's what the Generation Alphas and the Generation Zs are saying. They're coming out and saying, hey, we want a teacher that's interactive, not one that we can't poke at the screen and make them do things.
Anybody else? Go ahead, Ed.
So you know, I'm here in Lancaster County in Pennsylvania, and you know, this is one of the hometown areas for the Amish. And in their community, if homework is sent home with the kids, they view that as a failure of the teacher to do their job. Because again, their job is, okay, these kids go to school, they come home, they've got to help with the crops, the fields, the shop, the home, whatever it happens to be. And so their view on education, obviously very, very different. And I still have a grade schooler in the house. And, you know, I wonder too, wait a minute, she's been in school 8 hours a day, and then they come home and they get 2 and 3 hours of homework. Well, you know, these kids, they need to be stimulated in other ways, you know, whether that's through sports or their extracurriculars, their music, you know, scouting, whatever happens to be their thing, right? And when you start not being able to integrate all of that, now you're frustrating these children from an educational standpoint, and it becomes more of a chore than an experience. And so I'm loving what Christopher had to say, because these generations, what makes them up is what makes them up. And we're not going to be able to take them as a round peg and shove them down into this square hole that we've developed. And we're seeing that as not only in children, but that's the challenge as they graduate and come into the workplace. Mm-hmm. And we saw that with the millennials, and everyone hated the millennials when they hit the workplace. But the shift that the millennials expected are all the things that we're now realizing help our businesses to thrive. So, you know, I'm a big believer, for as conservative as I am in my own actions, I'm very open-minded when it comes to let's embrace new things, you know, let's try new things, because what the heck do we have to lose, right?
Yes, absolutely. Charles, Miriam, we'll love your thought.
Well, I taught high school for 5 years. I taught intro to business every morning, first period, before I came into my office. So I've taught in high school, and I've also been an adjunct professor teaching accounting at the college level. The school systems, the elementary and secondary school systems, don't really work anymore. I'm hoping that this move to remote learning will push the schools to get people that have the knowledge, like Christopher, to come in and teach the teachers how to teach remotely, because that's much more efficient. You have one professor that's there. He may have two or three assistants answering questions, and he can handle a huge lecture, 500 to 1,000 students, effectively. So it's cost effective for us as taxpayers. It provides the best teachers to the students, which makes their learning better. You also then take the students and you separate them by how they learn. So they're dealing with a professor that teaches the way they need to learn, not, you know, when I'm teaching 30 kids, I realize I've got kinetic learners, I've got visual learners, I've got audio learners, and I have got to, within that hour and a half lecture, teach different groups of students different ways. And that's tough. So by putting students together with teachers that teach the way they learn, you're going to be much more effective. You're going to be much more efficient. You're going to cut the cost. You're going to get rid of legacy buildings that are nothing but monuments to some local community organizer years ago, or governor or mayor or whatever, that serve little purpose most of the day and time, but take up huge sums of taxpayer money. So education has to be revamped to be effective.
Absolutely.
My 2-minute lecture.
I love lectures. I love learning. I didn't know how homework got started. I didn't know about that about the Amish. But if you tune into tomorrow's show, I'll be quoting it like I was an expert. Like I knew it all along. Like, did you know how homework got started? That's what I do. Miriam, I would love to hear from you.
Yeah, wow. I love what everyone had to say. These are all interesting. Those are all interesting viewpoints. And, you know, if there's anything about this pandemic, I think it's really shaken up the way everyone, number one, does business, school, everything, right? I have a pre-K child who I'm dealing with, you know, trying to school from home and do the online distance learning. And oh my gosh, like, you know, it's like what Charles is saying, like every child needs something different, you know, at every age level, and they all learn differently. So it's just, you know, the problems that are being presented by the pandemic. I hope it really does shake up the way that, you know, people think about our institutions or learning or whatnot. Because I mean, just even like universities, right? Like, I mean, you know, why are universities so expensive? Right. You know, it used to be like, yeah, it was expensive because nobody had books. And, you know, so they had to like, you know, they're like, our school has books and look at our library and yet, because it was really hard for people to get books. And now, right. You know, it's like the freedom of information age. And, you know, we have all this knowledge readily available. We have, you know, like, why is it so expensive? I've always wondered that. Maybe. Yeah.
But I think people are wondering that now because exactly. They're not going to these huge, I mean, I read article after article after article from different universities where the students are literally suing them for their tuition back because look, we paid you to go to school here. If I wanted to go to school online at home, I wouldn't have spent all this money. So I think that is part of the debate. But I want to go back to something that you said earlier, quick question, because you're a professional. You have your own law office, and now you have a child that's in pre-K. How do you handle it? How do you have, and we talked about that earlier, the work-life balance is what Ed mentioned, but how do you keep that up?
The same way you do as a business owner, you have to farm everything out and rely on resources and tribes and different experts. And I'm lucky enough to have my family to support me. You know, we have a pretty nuclear family. I'm Latina. You know, we all kind of stick together. And, you know, I am only able to survive through the help of my family, my tribe, my friends. It's a community. It's a community effort. And that's why I really feel for those that are maybe, you know, like, because it's like you said, I'm a professional, I'm this, I'm that. And even having all those things and all those resources, and I only have one child, mind you, it's really difficult. It's really, really difficult. It's a struggle. So just thinking about like the single mothers out there, those on their own, those that don't have family nearby and still are, you know, have this obligation to support their families. Meanwhile, I mean, I just don't know how they're doing it. I don't know how they're doing it. My heart goes out to them because by the grace of God and through the help of my family and friends, that's how I'm doing it. I don't know how others are doing it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because, you know, you have so many people who now they're working remotely, they're working at home. And on top of that, their children are at home and they have to be the teacher. They have to be the employer. There's so many hats that they have to wear. And I thank God my kids, my children, my adults are 23 and 26, because if I was their teacher and I had to teach them these things, they would have been in trouble. They would have went to their teacher and the teacher would be like, who helped you with your homework, mom? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know at all. I have enjoyed meeting all of you. It has been such an excellent show. We laughed, we learned, we shared. I want everyone to definitely work with Get Payroll to get your commercial for your business. But we are now coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Dr. Christopher.
Hey guys, it's great that you're watching, a show that's trying to help you build up your business and build up your personal life. I'd like to welcome anybody that wants to join us. We're working with New Right Network, which is a middle of the road news network out of Washington, D.C. to do a cruise for America in the spring. If you want to join us on that, it's nrncruise@gmail.com. Just email it in. The travel agent will get in touch with you. And it's about bringing people together to talk about our country and have civilized conversation and try to deal with some of these problems that we're seeing tear our country apart right now. And right now, I think that's a huge issue that I'd like to bring people together on both sides of the aisle. There are good people that are conservative. There are good people that are liberal that want to vote for Biden or want to vote for Trump. There's good people out there on both sides. Let's get these people talking and let's deal with some of these problems and try to get rid of some of the fringes and bring everything back in together and try to help everybody be the American dream that we can have.
I thank you for that. And I definitely agree. One of the reasons I launched my third talk show, which is face-to-face talk show, is because in the middle of hosting a roundtable talk show, unrest, civil unrest broke out in America. And I had so many people who wanted to speak about it. But then there were other people who said, you know what? I just want to talk about my book. I just want to talk about my business. I don't want to discuss Trump. I don't want to discuss Black Lives Matter. And I said, okay, I'll create a separate talk show for the people who want to have that conversation. And that's face-to-face talk show, which is Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So in about an hour, I'll be hosting that show. So I'd love for you or your or the representative of that organization, whatever works best for you, Dr. Christopher, to come on face-to-face talk show. Let's have that conversation. You can go to my website at asksharifah.com, select be a guest, and you'll see face-to-face talk show. I would love to have that conversation. Miriam, what do you have for us?
See, I'll unmute myself first. There we go. So the question is, what do we want your participants to know, right?
Yeah.
I think, don't be afraid to reach out. There is not a one-stop shop or solution for all of your business needs and problems. I think that's a point we've all touched upon today. That would be the main takeaway. And then just briefly, if you have any questions or need an attorney, morelawoffices.com.
That's right. And start early, not later, right. when the world has blown up. You need it early when you're starting up your business. So we want to get those in place. Definitely want to contact the law offices of Miriam G. Ortiz with that assistance. Ed, I'd like to go over to you.
Hey, thanks, Sharifah. So I think the big takeaway that today's listeners should get from me is that if you're struggling in your business to grow it or it's growing too fast, there is hope. There are solutions out there. I want you to stay in your joy and genius zone and let those of us who can diagnose and help you with the other problems do so. And one of the biggest hurdles that I find, especially smaller business owners come up with, is, the budget concerns. And I like to show people how you can't afford not to fix your business. And so, again, my website is I love it. It's the easiest one to remember in the world. It's just edcrow.com. And it gives you a little bit of a flair for how I help companies bust through those barriers and get back over onto Pleasure Island. Would love to hear from today's listeners.
Absolutely. Let's get them over there to Pleasure Island. Then we'll move them in our next book. From Pleasure Island to Fantasy Island. So we're going to make that happen. Charles, what do you have for us?
Well, it's been, Sharifah, it's been a fascinating hour. I've enjoyed listening to everyone, for all your participants and viewers. We're GetPayroll at getpayroll.com. If you have payroll questions, problems, situations, call me. The first call is free. I'll talk to anybody about any problem. If we got to do more work, we'll talk about a price. But, the book's available on Amazon for, $28.95 or something. It'll answer most of your questions, not all of them. You got something beyond that? Give me a call. It's getpayroll.com or 972-353-0000. The only good thing GTE ever did for me. and so we like to help people. That's what we do. That's why I got into business. We like to help people. We like to solve problems. I'm a problem solver by nature, and I'm in a business that has lots of, in an industry that has lots of problems. There's lots of mistakes that the government makes. There's mistakes that individuals make, but we can normally solve those problems for them, give them good advice, get them back on the straight and narrow, get the IRS off their case, and get them back where they can concentrate on their business, not on ancillary things they don't need to worry about. We're experts in payroll. Let us do it. We're not experts in your business. We're not dog groomers. We're not manufacturers. We're not real estate agents. We're not insurance agents. We're payroll people. We'll take care of those things for you. You concentrate on your business, fixing your business, resolving your conflicts, taking care of your legal aspects. We'll take care of payroll for you.
I like it. I like it. You're not talk show host, so I'll do that. I'll host some talk shows, and we'll talk to you about payroll. I love it. I had a fantastic time today. It was amazing to meet all of you. I definitely enjoyed it. I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives. Just because you watch this show in the archives doesn't mean you're not as important. Whether you're watching it 2 days later, 2 months, 2 years, it doesn't matter. The information is still relevant, and we still appreciate you. And it's still a great time to go ahead and share the show, no matter when you're watching it. But as always, I invite you not to just watch the show, not to just share the show, but be a part of the conversation. Visit our guests, go to their website, follow them on social media. And when you send them that message, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. And if you are interested in more ways I can help you with your business or in being a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.